I was contacting some missionaries this week and talked to a few of them. I got to talk to Brother Paul for a little while and Brother Josh through Facebook. Brother Paul, you need to pray for him. He's recovering from knee replacement surgery, which is a big thing. We haven't been getting some letters from him in a while, so I got that kind of sorted out and situated. He was sending them to the wrong place, so I've gotten that sorted out and got that in the right direction now. So hopefully we'll be getting some more newsletters from him, and then talk to Brother Joshua on Facebook, through Facebook. And he has got a lot going on. They're doing a lot of street preaching. He's in Italy. And he's got a lot going on. They're street preaching a ton right now and still have the church and everything, so they're dealing with that. And then apparently about a week or so ago, he lost his voice almost completely and has no reason why. He just said he just can't hardly talk. And he sent me a voice message through Facebook, and he was talking, and I was like, man, you can hardly understand what he's saying. It's all hoarse and raspy. And he said he didn't feel bad. He didn't nothing like that, just lost his voice. So you need to be praying for him. Definitely keep that in mind. Keep your missionaries in mind. I know sometimes the only time we think about them is when we look at the board or things like that, or when Miss Page posts them on our Facebook page. But you ought to write them down and remember them. It's important what they're doing over there, and we support them, people, and we need to be able to make sure that we are keeping up with them. I also talked to, I think it's Brother Steve or Stephen, the guy that does the magnets. Selecki. I can't remember how to say his last name for the life of me. Talked to him, and he's got a lot going on also. They're doing a bunch of stuff right now as far as signs and things like that. And I got to talk to him a good bit. I didn't realize he was tied to some of the stuff with Peter Ruckman down in Florida and all of the stuff that he used to do with signage. So we got to talk to him, had a good conversation with him. And he's also going to get us some newsletters and things like that going back, because he was sending them to the wrong place also. So now we'll get some of that sorted out. So anyways, keep those missionaries in your mind. And I know we've got a lot to pray for in our church, and you need to continue to pray for the people in your church. It's one of the most important things you can do. And so make sure you keep those things in your mind. And we're going to have a little special time of prayer at the end of service, or at the end of Sunday school this morning. So I'm going to try to kind of get into this part of our lesson and see if I can finish up so that we can start the doctrine of eternal security next week. That is my goal. So we talked a little bit last week. We got into talking about how other denominations and other cults and things, they use baptism as part of their salvation. We talked a little bit about that, and we looked at a few different verses on that. Acts 2:38, which is where that comes out of. A lot of that comes out of that. So we deal with that, and we talked a little bit right towards the end. Leslie brought up something that was very good. We were talking about how you have that transition in Acts between Peter and Paul, and there's a lot of different things going on in Acts. Acts is a very good book, but it can be very confusing if you don't put things in the place that it needs to be. It's not confusing if you rightly divide it, but it can be confusing if you don't rightly divide it. So you have Peter saying things like you got to be baptized in Acts 2:38, but then Paul comes on the scene, things seem to change. So you see some different things going on there, and you have the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, and I couldn't remember, I said Acts chapter 9, but that's the conversion. Brother Scott helped me out on that one, and said it was Acts chapter 7 that we were talking about. So you have the stoning of Stephen happens, and you see that ultimate rejection of Jesus Christ there, where they sit there, Stephen's getting stoned, and Jesus Christ is standing at the right hand of the Father, and then he sits back down. He sits back down, and then the next thing that comes into play is in chapter 9 when Paul comes onto the scene. So that's a very good transition to think about when you're reading through Acts and the things that are going on. But another place that you can see where people take baptism out of context is Mark chapter 16. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And I'm going to give some verses out real quick, and I want you to read them when I ask for them. Brother Randy, can you get Mark 16 and verse 9? And Brother Scott, get Mark 16 in verse 14. And Brother Vic, get Mark 16 and verse 15. All right. Mark 16 and get verse 17. I'm sorry, Brother Vic. Verse 17. Mark 16 and verse 15, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In verse 16 he says, "And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So when we go through there, we go through Scripture, and we've talked about this during our dispensational studies, you have to see who he's talking to, what he's talking to, what they're talking about. You have to understand what gospel they're preaching. You have to break the whole thing down, right? If you're going to read a Scripture, break it down and understand what it is talking about fully. So, who is the spokesman in Mark chapter 16? Who has verse 9? Read verse 9 for us. And who has verse 14? All right, so who is the spokesman in Mark 16? Did you say? Jesus. Jesus is the spokesman in Mark 16. We find that in verses 9 and verses 14. Now, who is he speaking to? The 11. You find that in verse 14 also. So what gospel is being preached? Verse 15 says, "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel." What gospel is that? Brother Vic, read verse 17 for us. All right. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Now, what gospel requires signs and wonders? Who requires signs and wonders? The Jews. This is the kingdom gospel. This ain't the same gospel that we believe today. This is the kingdom gospel. You have to be able to break those things down or you will be confused. You will be completely confused. You can read a scripture like Mark 16 and you can say, "Oh, well, he says go preach the gospel." And then he says, "Hey, but you got to be baptized to be saved." Well, you must be baptized to be saved, right? According to Mark 16, that's exactly what it says. And in Mark 16, that was true in Mark 16. But we don't live under the gospel of Mark 16. Now, there's, like I've said before, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All scripture. Every single bit of it is. You can learn something from every piece of scripture. It's all perfect. The infallible and inspired word of God, it's all perfect. You can get something out of it, but you have to know what is to you and what is for you. There is a difference. What does sound doctrine teach about water baptism being essential for salvation? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 12, the Bible says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. This is the baptism required by God for our salvation in the age of grace." Notice, there's not one drop of water mentioned in this. It's a spiritual baptism. It's a spiritual baptism that we had nothing to do with. Jesus Christ did it all, right? He went to the cross. He died for your sins, right? He shed his blood. He did all the work that was needed. And because of that, you're baptized into the body, not into the water. There's a difference there. There's multiple baptisms. I could go into that. I could go into the seven baptisms. We could go, and I could go in that hole, but we're going to wait to go in that hole until I get to the doctrine of baptism. So this is just a preliminary kind of overview of things. So we'll get into the seven different baptisms. We'll get into all that kind of stuff. Seven is the number of completion. It's great stuff, but we're going to get into that in time. So hang in there with me, okay? We'll break all this down the farther in we get. This is just the preliminary thing. So this is the baptism that is for our age of grace. Many denominations and cults teach false doctrine and say there's no such thing as the Trinity. This is another one that we deal with a lot. They separate Jehovah God from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. Now there's a lot of stuff going on right now with Facebook, and I follow a group. And I'll be honest with you, I never dreamed that I would hear some of the stuff against the Trinity that I've heard in this group. Because they say they're Bible believers, rightly dividing the word of truth and all this good stuff. But yet they're having arguments about the Father not being God. And I'm sitting there going, well, there's no scripture to back up what you're saying. And the guy never can give a real definite scripture. He tries to pull them apart and make them say things that they make them be things that they're not, and he's trying to make it like it's more important over here than over there, and he's all messed up. I'm here to tell you right now, though, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's three, and they're in one. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're all wrapped up into one. Now they'll use verses like this one, and I want to get a few more verses together for me. I want somebody to get Genesis 22 verse 14. Who wants to get it? Raise your hand. You'll get it, Brother Tim. Genesis 22, 14. Who can give me Exodus 17, 15? Miss Page, you get Exodus 17, 15? I'm going to have to designate. Leslie, will you get Judges 6, 24? Alright, y'all hold on to those just a second. Psalms 83 and verse 16, the Bible says, fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Now they'll argue that you cannot add another name to Jehovah. That's where they get this from. They say there's only one. You can't add to it. Who's got Genesis 22:14? Jerah. All right, so now you got Jehovah Jireh, right? Okay, so we got Jehovah, we got Jehovah Jireh. I'm not missing that, right? Everybody saw it. You read it, didn't you? Okay, who's got Exodus 17, 15? Read that for me. Jehovah Nisi. So now you've got Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, and Jehovah Nisi. Don't make a whole lot of sense yet, does it? Who's got Judges 6, 24? Jehovah Shalom. I thought you couldn't add to it. I thought you couldn't add to the name of Jehovah. That's what they say, right? That's what they'll tell you. Here's three places where names are added directly to the name Jehovah. You know, you have to read it every once in a while, right? If you just take your doctrine and you say, okay, I believe this, you have to be able to back it up with that. And usually, if you're going to say that this is the doctrine that I believe, you're going to have to read more than just one verse. You see, that's the problem with everybody nowadays. They just want to read one thing and then go with it. And then all of a sudden, that you don't understand which way is right and which way is wrong, do you? You have Church of Christ telling you this over here, and you've got the Holy Spirit telling you this over here, and you've got
Baptists telling you this over here. And the Baptists are broke up into 50,000 things nowadays. They tell you all sorts of stuff. Half the Southern Baptist crowd is going Calvinist. Amen. It's just the way that it is. They'll sit there and they want to take this reformed way of looking at things. You're part of the elect. And then they've got people so messed up and confused because they don't understand how to rightly divide the word of truth and get sound doctrine. And 2 Timothy tells us in chapter 4, there's coming a day when they will not endure sound doctrine. So what have they done? They created their own. They created their own. Sound doctrine is not really difficult to understand. It's not even difficult to get it out of the Word of God. You can read it right there. We go through the Scriptures, and I give you Scripture after Scripture. It's not a bunch of stuff I made up. Some people think I make this stuff up, but all I do is just read it. When they look at you and say, hey, you can't add any name to Jehovah, but yet you sit there and go, well, what about these three verses? Because they added to them. When you sit there and they say baptism has got to be in your salvation. That's the only thing that's going to save you is get dunked in water. But then you sit there and say, yeah, but what are you going to do with when Paul starts preaching and he's not using water baptism? Like, that don't make any sense. It's because they create their own little world. Why? A lot of it's tradition. Most of it's tradition of men. If you've noticed, the church is very tradition ran. You don't want to break the mold of anything, right? What you've done is what you'll always do. You know, there's some things that I agree to that point. When it comes to this Bible, I think you ought to use the King James 1611 Bible. It's the infallible and inerrant Word of God, okay? And I don't think you should back down from that. I would rather the door shut than to preach something else other than that. That's how strong I believe about it, okay? I can promise you, if that ever goes away, I will not be the preacher here. I don't care how many people vote on it. I'll fight it if there ain't nobody left in this building. I believe that they believed it for a long time here. I believe it was a lot of people that, back when it was Missionary Baptist Church, I believe they preached out of that King James Bible right there. It was good enough for them, right? It was good enough for them. Why is it supposed to change now? The Word of God didn't change. It's always been right there. It's always been infallible and inspired Word of God. Just because traditions change things doesn't mean that the Word of God changes. We use verses like 1 John 5 and verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, and the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There's people get confused about that word part. We talked about it a bunch of times. In the beginning was the Word was with God, Word was God, right? Now that's pretty good right there. The Word was God, right? But in verse 14 it says the Word was made flesh. He walked and dwelt among us, right? Okay, so if the Word was God, it was God, right? And if the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, who was that? Jesus. And who's Jesus? Exactly. Complicated, ain't it? Just blows your mind, don't it? If you just read it. We were talking about it this morning a little bit. I'm talking to Brother Dave Reese about going through some Bible school, trying to get some stuff situated so I can do that. And we were talking about how things have changed over the years. Preachers change and people change their point of views on different things. And we were talking about one young guy that I'm friends with. I know him personally. And this boy was on fire for God. Great preacher. Started pastoring a church in Virginia. And man, God just opened the door. He was looking for a job. He used to pump concrete. He went to Bible school and God called him to preach. And he said, man, I ain't got time to preach. Well, God laid him off his job. His job, he got laid off. And you say, well, how'd God lay you off? Because God knew he had a better plan for him. He ended up moving to Virginia from where he moved about 3 hours from where he was living in Virginia to another place. And started pastoring a church full-time there. He believed the King James Bible was the Word of God. He believed right division. He'd been through all the schooling, the same schooling that I've been through. Okay, he believed the same way I believe, pretty much. But then all of a sudden, he changed. He pastored that church for about 2 years. He came up for a church one Sunday and told them that he didn't believe that the King James Bible was the infallible and inspired Word of God anymore. And you know what? They did the right thing. They kicked him out. I ain't knocking them. They kicked him slap out. They said, well, you're going to have to go then. And they voted him out that day. And they should have. They should have. And they did the right thing. So he went to North Carolina, got him another church. And buddy, he's preached everything. He preached that. I like when this one says this and this one says that. And they was changing everything. And he started preaching Calvinistic doctrine, started going to John MacArthur school. He took that point of view. Well, some things happened, and he lost that church also. He was there for about 6 months, and he walked away from that church, and now he's in North Carolina attending another church of a guy that used to be at the college, the Free Will Baptist College I went to. That guy preaches Free Will Baptist doctrine, but he believes he's a Calvinist. He's so messed up, he don't know which way's right. So now he's in this position. But we were talking about some different things with him, and Brother Reese was sitting there saying, man, I thought this kid was going to be the guy that just carried the mantle. I thought he was going to be the kid. He was so smart. He took a 4-year degree, and you can do it at your own pace kind of deal and things like that. He burnt through that course in a year. In a year, he went through the whole entire course. A lot of dedication and work. A lot of knowledge. This kid was super smart. He said he'd read his papers that he'd written, and it was just phenomenal, the content that he'd have in the papers that he'd read. And he thought, you know, this could be the guy that comes along and says, hey, I could take this from Brother Reese, and I could be the next person that says, hey, here's some more stuff. And Brother Reese thought that this could be the guy. And I said, well, how does somebody change? Because we can all change. Don't think you're above it, okay? Don't think you're above it. I know a whole lot of men, good men, that changed, that did some wrong things. And I asked Brother Dave, I said, how does that happen, though? He was so smart, he knew so much. And Brother Dave said, well, here's the thing. He questions the Word of God constantly. He said, when you read the Word of God, how do you read it? I said, I read it. He said, how do you believe it? I said, whatever it says, I believe it. He said, that's the way I always looked at it. Whatever it says is right. No matter. It doesn't matter what it says. Just whatever it says is right. He said, and then I may try to expound on it and understand what it says. But I don't try to correct it. I just try to understand it. When it says rightly divide the word of truth, I rightly divide the word of truth. And I just say, well, it must be divided. If it says it has to be divided, it must be divided. And then I try to figure out where the divisions are. If it says you have to be dispensational, then I have to be dispensational. If it says I have to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I have to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. He said, I just take it for what it says, and that's all I do. He said, but this young man doesn't do that. He questions whether or not it's right. Is the commentary better? Is their philosophy on this better than what I've always heard? Than what I've read. The scripture became not as important anymore. And it broke him down. That's the way church works nowadays. People don't just take the Word of God and say, if it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. They try to fix it and manipulate it and change it. Cults have a real problem with the Godhead. One God in three persons. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of it. Not just part of it. All of it. Every bit of it. There are some cults that teach false doctrine of receiving the Holy Ghost separate from salvation. This comes out of the holiness crowd. The holiness crowd teach this kind of doctrine. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. What they will tell you is, when a man falls out of fellowship with God, the Spirit of God leaves him. How many of y'all ever strayed away from God? I'm the only one. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all are so spiritual. Golly. If I could just be like my church, it'd be phenomenal, wouldn't it? Strayed away from God, everybody has at some point in time. Whether you want to admit it, whether it was real bad or just a little bit, you strayed away from God. You got away from things of God. Guess what? God didn't leave you. He didn't go anywhere. He's right there with you. He's right there with you. But because they read this scripture in 1 Samuel, they say, well, he left Saul. Well, Saul ain't saved the same way you're saved, right? It's different. It's different. What they will tell you is, or I've already read that part, excuse me. So we use verses like Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of man that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. To dwell means he is taking up residence in us as believers. He moved in. He moved in. You believe you're Ephesians 4:30 sealed to the day of redemption, or do you just kind of believe it? Did he actually move in, or does he come on and off of you? He don't come on and off of you anymore. You see, their salvation was based on their works. When Saul fell away, what happened? God couldn't be a part of it anymore. Jesus Christ dies on the cross. That veil is rent. Everything's done away with all those works. Guess what? You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. That is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He says, okay, you accepted me. I move in, and I ain't going nowhere. I am right here till the day of redemption. I am right here with you the whole entire time. He said in Hebrews, I will never leave thee and I will never forsake thee, right? He ain't going anywhere. He's always faithful. These are three examples of how false doctrine is combated by sound doctrine. Why teach sound doctrine? I believe it's summed up in Ephesians 4 and verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the silent of men, the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's what's happening in this world today. They're trying to give you some kind of a counterfeit religion thing. They're trying to give you something that they say is good, and they wrap it up in this pretty package, and they put this nice little bow on it, and they say, here, this is the Word of God, but yet it's not. It's just false doctrine. I think if you really want to grow in the things of God, sound doctrine is one thing that you have to have. You have to know what you believe and why you believe it. I can get up here and I can preach everything I know about doctrine. I mean, I can preach it frontwards, backwards. We could do it for the next 10 years. But at some point in time, you've got to believe it. At some point in time, you've got to sit there and say, this is what I think is right. You have to understand. You have to sit back and say, I believe this is Bible, or I don't. I believe this is how you're saved, or this is how you're saved. You have to figure out what you believe. And you have to be able to back it up with Scripture. There's a lot of things I don't understand about the Word of God. There's a lot of things I can't even comprehend. The fact that God's always been here, man. Our mind don't understand that. We're born, we die, right? But God that's just here. There's some things I'm not meant to understand right now. But I believe it enough to know that one day I'm going to understand it. I believe it because it says one day I'm going to have understanding. I believe that if I study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, God will give me some understanding and some things. That's what Paul said. Consider what I say. Gain understanding in all things. If I want to understand all things, I got to consider what he says, and I got to rightly divide the word of truth. If I want to know what my doctrine is, that's where I'm going to start. And I'm going to start trying to learn it. I'm going to start trying to get something out of the Word of God. I hope that you got something out of this, and next week we'll start into eternal security. And I know y'all are looking forward to that, right? Amen.